VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk on VCY America. There are many troubling issues that are impacting our nation. And one of those we're going to focus on today is the proliferation of the LGBTQ plus movement. I mean, the agenda that was laid out many years ago was branded as just being satire, yet we see that agenda being fulfilled in so many different ways across our nation today. And I want you to know this, that Scripture is not silent on these matters. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, God called the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah as being very grievous. Please don't buy into the rewrite of Scripture that says they were destroyed by fire and brimstone for not being hospitable enough. And yet in society today, we are well aware that our nation is falling into greater and greater immorality. The recent so-called Pride Month saw our government's involvement in many ways promoting that which God calls an abomination. The military was involved. All the branches of the military celebrated Pride Month. The public education system across this land is pushing this agenda like none other. The entertainers of our day are pushing this not only in their performances, but through all their social media channels. We're being inundated. And yes, this issue has been adopted by many a church across this land, and it is growing. When will we wake up? When will we realize that God has spoken on this issue, and at every turn it's a warning not to go this direction? In Luke chapter 17, it says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." And then you go to verse 28, it says, "Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went up out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Friends, we've got many issues to unfold today, many issues of concern, and the direction that our culture indeed is taking is one toward judgment, in direct violation of what God has said in His Word. Joining us today, we welcome back Peter LaBarbera, founder and president of Americans for Truth. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jim, and thanks for that excellent summation. Just right on. You know, it doesn't really, morality, God's truth is not, impinged, affected in any way by politics or polls, cultural zeitgeist, what have you. It's the Word of God, and it's timeless. And you know, America is not exempt, even though a lot of people like to say how great we are, and I believe we truly are a great, if not the greatest nation ever that ever was created on earth. We are not immune to the same Romans 1 phenomenon that other nations have fallen victim to, and we're on our way.
Indeed, we are. Well, Peter, we're going to reveal a lot of heavy things today in the program, but I'm going to begin with a recent victory. Just last week, we saw a federal appeals court in Texas protect the religious beliefs and convictions of healthcare professionals whom the Biden administration has been trying to force to perform so-called gender transition procedures. It was known as a transgender mandate, but a federal appeals court said, hey, not so fast.
Absolutely, Jim. And, this is a victory. And I have been, I never would have dreamed that Biden would go all the way on the transgender issue like he did. I mean, it was going to be bad, but I mean, he's just shown that he is totally craven on this issue. He is totally sold out to the most radical elements within the LGBTQ movement. And it's good to see that courts are pushing back. We can only hope and pray and work for more courts and more pushback against this radical agenda.
He called the transgender matter the civil rights issue of our time. I mean, he campaigned on that. And Peter, what he's doing, he's fulfilling his campaign promises. It really shouldn't shock this nation he's doing that because, after all, that's what he said he was going to do.
Exactly, Jim. Just like he said he would allow aliens to flow into our country, he's following through on what he said. And, of course, the media never pushed back in that election, Jim, which we've talked about many times. When you have a media which is sold out to this agenda as President Biden is, it's very difficult to get another viewpoint in. Now, what's happened is, I believe, on the transgender issue, the cultural forces are coming our way as people are just aghast and shocked to see, you know, young girls having their healthy breasts removed. And we're going to be talking about that. But I think Biden's on the losing end here, but the media will do everything it can to protect him, especially as elections are coming.
Well, Peter, one other victory I want to point out is that the World Boxing Council has banned gender-confused men now from competing against women. I mean, it should be a no-brainer to us, but, I'll take that victory there as well. I mean, when they're recognizing, no, there's a difference in muscle mass and bone structure and all aspects here, and thankfully they said they're not going to allow men who wish to identify as women to compete against women in boxing.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. I mean, this is just common sense. And to hear these ideologues on the left saying, oh, no, it's just a matter of equality, it's all garbage, and yet they talk about science. And, Jim, we have an example. I can't remember his name. I think it was an MMA fighter who was a biological male who was a pretend transgender woman, and she was hurting her opponents, her real women opponents, just like the swimmer, the male swimmer was winning those contests by huge amounts. I mean, this is just common sense. Men are naturally stronger, faster, quicker than women, and that's just the way it is, and they should not be allowed to compete against each other.
Peter, while there's victory, we've got so many warnings that we want to issue here as well, and we're going to start with H.R. 8404. This is the so-called Respect for Marriage Act. The House has already passed this legislation due to the help of many Republican congressmen, but we understand now that at first this was going to go nowhere in the Senate because they need 60 votes, but then we started seeing one Republican after another cave on this issue, and now we understand, just this morning we received word from Family Research Council, Tony Perkins organization, that they understand that during September, and we're just hours really from September starting, that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is likely going to bring this so-called Respect for Marriage Act up for a vote during the month of September. Already there are Republican senators that are jumping on board. Your comment on this H.R. 8404.
Yeah, Jim, this is a very, very dangerous bill because it puts into law, it federalizes the wrong decision by the Supreme Court, Obergefell v. Hodges, which eviscerated the marriage protection laws, which, remember, were in more than 30 states that had protected marriage for what it really is, between a man and a woman. And this is the Democrats trying to take advantage of the growing support for homosexual so-called marriage. I think that support comes, I don't think it's as strong as they say it is, but it's coming from the propaganda we see everywhere. Even conservatives are accepting it. Excuse me, sorry. But this bill, on my website, AmericansForTruth.com, Jim, I've listed the 47 House members who voted for it. But what we're looking at in the Senate is they need 10 Republicans. And apparently they thought they had Ron Johnson there in Wisconsin. Hopefully he's rethinking that. I got a notice from a great pro-family activist, Micah Clark, in Indiana, who said that you need to watch Todd Young, who's a Republican. Can you imagine the senator from Indiana voting for the national federal bill that would legalize homosexual marriage created in the law federally? Todd Young, Indiana. So listeners need to make their voices heard wherever they are to tell their senator not to vote for homosexual so-called marriage, which is counterfeit marriage.
Peter, I'm going to read a quote here from Tony Perkins that came out this morning. He said, initially, at least four Senate Republicans took the bait, including liberal Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and outgoing Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, and even Senator Tom Tillis, North Carolina, expressed support. But then the real bombshell started dropping the following day when several others generally seen as more conservative seemed to be testing the waters on a radical issue that 7 years ago they vehemently opposed. For example, Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri said, quote, "I don't have any problem with same-sex marriage, and I'm not sure I want to look at the legislation." Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa said she is keeping a very open mind. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin announced his support for the bill, but has since issued a public statement clarifying he neither supports nor opposes it, and it goes on from there. But there's a number of individuals, and we understand at first Senator Johnson seemed to be very strong for this, but it appears he may be reconsidering that right now, and it is critical for people in Wisconsin to reach out to him, listeners in Iowa to reach out to Senator Ernst, those that are listening right now in Missouri to reach out to Senator Blunt, and on that list goes. You mentioned Indiana there as well, Peter. And let me give a telephone number here to the U.S. Senate switchboard, but we're going to have some more comments on this, but you can reach out to your U.S. senators. Don't assume because they have an R behind their name that they're going to vote family values. Don't believe that they're going to just automatically vote with morality because there's an R behind their name. There have been several, nearly one-fourth of the House of Representatives caved on this issue. Nearly one-fourth. And now it's going before the U.S. Senate. You can reach out to your senators at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. If you'd like their specific number to get you, where you can bypass the switchboard, just go to senate.gov. You'll find the senators there. You'll find the direct numbers to their, not only their DC office, but all their district offices as well. You can call every district office for your senator. But Peter, it's imperative for people to reach out and let their views be made known to their senators.
Yes, Jim, absolutely. This would be equivalent to a federal bill which institutionalizes abortion on demand up and until birth. And let me say one other thing on Jim, which is a little politically correct within conservative circles. We have to go back to President Trump when he dropped the ball in one of the worst mistakes of his administration, even before he went into office, was inaugurated as president, when he said, basically gave up the ghost on that gay so-called marriage issue and said that something to the effect of it's settled law in that interview with 60 Minutes. Now, so Trump cleared the way effectively for a lot of Trump supporters to say, well, that's not an important issue anymore. So I would also take this a step further. Yes, contact your House member, even though that vote has already happened, and your senators. And also, we have presidential campaigns coming up. Contact the DeSantis campaign and the Trump campaign and urge them to take this matter seriously as an issue. Trump talks about God. If he's going to honor God in his speech, the speeches he gives, he cannot just dismiss the idea of two men or two women getting, quote unquote, married. That's absurd. And so we need to keep this issue active and in play versus libertarians who want to just throw it away.
This would wipe out, codify the Obergefell decision. But even folks, if a state decided that they wanted polygamy to take place, your state would be required under this legislation, Peter, they would be required to also recognize such relationships.
Yes, Jim, and it's not just Utah we're talking about, which has the history, the Mormon history of polygamy. Polyamory is in a term within the whole LGBTQ plus framework. Polyamory meaning multiple partner sexual relationships. It's already happening. If you abide by the propaganda that they used, remember, to sell homosexual so-called marriage, they said what? Obama said, love is love. Oh, love is love. It's that simple. Well, if love is love, then what about multiple partner love? What about five guys? And I'm not talking about the hamburger chain. If they call that love, then, hey, they're going to be petitioning to the Supreme Court, because what left-wing activists do is they use the courts to rationalize and legitimize their deviant lifestyle.
We got to take a break here. Peter LaBarbera with us today. That legislation, the so-called Respect for Marriage Act, H.R. 8404. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is helium so much lighter than the other gases?
Chris, helium is lighter because it's a smaller atom, far smaller than any other gas except hydrogen. There's a very interesting lesson we can learn from this. We know how many atoms of helium are out there from a direct observation. We also know how fast helium is produced below the Earth's surface and how fast it enters the atmosphere. By doing simple division, we can see that all of the helium that's in the atmosphere would get here in a rather short period of time, far too short to have allowed for evolution to occur. Once again, Chris, we see that the scientific evidence supports the biblical way of thinking and not the evolution way of thinking. Back to Genesis wins again.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Friends, do you know where your senators stand on that issue? You have two U.S. senators. Do you know where they stand on the so-called Respect for Marriage Act? I call it Disrespect for Marriage. But do you know where they stand? If not, have you contacted their office? You can do so at 202-224-3121. And don't wake up on a morning when all of a sudden you hear the news anchors say, well, last night the U.S. Senate voted to pass the Respect for Marriage Act, and say, oh, why didn't somebody tell me? Well, friends, that's what we're here today, telling you about it so that your voice can make a difference. Peter LaBarber is with us today, founder and president of Americans for Truth. Peter, there has been a literal explosion of the transgender movement. I mean, even with a number of pediatric hospitals participating in things like hormone blocking drugs or what they call gender affirmative surgery, some of them will have surgical information on their site. Tell us what's happening, because it's just astounding to see the medical professionals going this direction. And even more astounding to me, Peter, is parents who are accommodating their children to go down this pathway of destruction. What is going on?
Okay, Jim, what's going on is, number one, the hospitals are getting caught. The professionals are getting caught, and there's a blowback against the hospitals, such as Boston Children's in Boston, which performed these hormone therapies, they call them gender affirmation, which is another leftist euphemism. We're talking about, we can't even talk fully about what it is, Jim. It's so grotesque. We're talking about genital mutilation, girls having their healthy breasts removed. But, Jim, this is not just Boston. This occurred in Chicago. I remember a story in the Chicago media about a 16-year-old girl who had her healthy breasts removed at Lurie Children's Hospital, which all the big hospitals now have these transgender centers in which they have encouraged these children, these gender-confused children. They've set them on a path of destruction by encouraging them to adopt a false identity. And you asked about the parents, Jim. What happens is the parents are under the gun. Sometimes the kids threaten suicide. I'm going to commit suicide if you don't let me become the boy that I know I am. That's who I really am. And the propaganda at schools, the transgender ideology, which flowed out of the homosexual movement. Let's always remember that, because there's an effort now to separate the gay from the transgender. And you have gay activists saying, oh, this is too radical, which I guess we're going to talk about, Jim. But let's remember, homosexual activists, so-called gay activists, have been the foremost promoter of this destructive ideology, which comes down to children now wanting to destroy their bodies to pursue this fantasy of being the opposite sex. But thankfully, there is a blowback now, and in the United States, we're seeing a pushback, just like we saw in other countries. In UK, these procedures were banned on 16-year-olds and younger through the National Health Service in the UK. That happened 2 years ago, Jim. America is catching up because people are seeing this destructive agenda, and they're seeing the photos of these girls who have had their with marks of where the surgery occurred. This is just horrifying stuff.
Peter, you mentioned Boston Children's Hospital, and CNSNews.com carried a story in middle August saying many children in the womb are aware that they are transgender. A psychologist at one of the nation's top-rated children's hospitals says, in a video posted on the Boston Children's Hospital YouTube page, Carrie McGregor, a psychologist with the hospital's gender multi-specialty clinic, makes the claim that children in the womb are sentient enough to choose a gender other than their dictated biology. Quote, most of the patients that we have in the GEMS clinic actually know their gender, usually around the age of puberty, but a good portion of children do know as early as seemingly from the womb. Peter, this is hogwash coming from them.
Absolutely. And Jim, let's trace it back. Remember the gay gene myth? we saw that before. Oh, they're born that way. And you have people, well, I knew I was gay when I was, ever since I was four. I can't recall back to when I was four. And this is absolutely ridiculous. What you're seeing is the opposite of real science, where they have their desired outcome, which is this radical trans deviant lifestyle, which is so harmful, especially to children, and they're just pushing it back and saying, oh, well, it had to happen, you know, they know. And everybody, when you have this sycophantic media, which does nothing but promote this agenda, it makes the activists even more cocky on the other side, Jim, because they really isn't the media pushback. It's only conservative media that has led the way in exposing this, like, you know, libs of TikTok. Has done yeoman's work in getting the word out. But no thanks to our media, which is part now. Remember, the media is part of LGBTQ. You should add an M to LGBTQ and make it LGBTQM, because the media is part of this radical deviant agenda.
You know, we also want to give a warning to parents today, because there are sites and apps on social media that have been nothing but a cesspool, taking children down the wrong path. Peter, I know many have been taken in by groups like the Trevor Project and others, and all kinds of things happening within different social media circles that really should be a wake-up call to parents if their children are into having their own iPads and phones, which is becoming more and more universal now, but many that are accessing these sites, and some that make it possible with a simple click to get out and have the history gone.
Oh, absolutely, Jim. You see these testimonies more and more now. They're saying, you know, things like Instagram, where one girl will, you know, say she's going down this gender road, this radical gender road, and then, like, all of a sudden a whole bunch of other girls follow. And, Jim, I have to say another thing, too. I'm reading a lot of testimonies from parents, and a lot of these parents were liberal, so-called progressive parents who had no problem when their kid came out as gay or lesbian. A lot of them were daughters. They were almost, they have said, I've seen it again and again where they said, oh, I was fine with my daughter being a lesbian. Well, how naive of them not to know that that is almost like the gateway drug, homosexuality, towards further deviance, and the gay movement, you know, is an ally and begot a lot of this, and so it should have been no surprise that a lot of people who come out. I mean, it's, you cannot approve when your child embraces sexual deviance, sexual sin, perversion, but that happened to a lot of these liberal parents, and then they were shocked to see their daughter or son go from homosexuality to this radical wanting to change their whole gender.
And Peter, you mentioned M for Media, but let me just say this. They're not doing a very good job at telling the stories of those who have regretted going down that path. And I find it very interesting that there are many who are regretting their forever body-altering surgeries that have taken place, and now there's just nothing they can do about it.
Right, exactly. And remember, the conservative journalist, conservative spokesman, Chris Plant said the most insidious power of the media is the power to ignore. And that's what we've always seen, to purposely ignore news that doesn't fit their agenda. And that's what they're doing, Jim. But thankfully, the stories are so powerful, the testimonies are so incredibly compelling, that conservative media is carrying the fight here. And groups like, and, you know, stations like yours, Jim, and these pictures of these poor girls. And I just pity these children who are making decisions. We don't let our children at schools, at public schools, I don't think you can even get an aspirin. Your child can't get Tylenol
yeah.
without
right.
getting permission.
You're right. They can't. And Peter, you bring up the schools, and the indoctrination that is happening from preschool on is just amazing. It is becoming more and more dominant in school textbooks. It's becoming more and more dominant in library holdings. It's becoming more and more dominant within the instruction that's taking place within the classroom, whether it's math or history or whatever it may be. The whole LGBT indoctrination is being infiltrated into the curricula. And you've even got teachers talking on keeping this information from parents. Kids, you can trust us. We will not tell your parents about this. I mean, it is really a slap on the face to parents, and parents who have actually gone to school boards, I mean, that they are being viewed as the radicals who are speaking out against this. They are being viewed as the extremists who speak out against these things.
Yes, it's like a giant cult that reacts against anybody that opposes it. And Jim, I mean, we see the results. We talked about it in our last interview. More than 20% of Gen Z, which is the younger kids, the youngest, more than 20% now identify in some way as LGBTQ. Now, even if that's a soft number, it's not really 20%. Maybe some of them are not as serious about it as others. That's shocking. When you think that 1-2% of the culture identified as quote unquote gay, just a couple decades ago. I mean, this is just an explosion, and it's ideologically driven. It's driven by the media, academia, and now corporations who are giving to this movement. There's no resistance. Even Walmart, I think, is probably close to 100%, if not 100%, on the gay business scale for pro-homosexual companies, pro-transgender companies. So all the elite institutions, the big powerful institutions, are arrayed against us. All we have is the truth and people willing to tell it, no matter what the media says.
Peter LaBarbera with us from Americans for Truth. Peter, you have a lot of information on your website. Let's get out that info.
Yes, our website is AmericansForTruth.com, Jim, and I do have up on the website now, I just put the 47 House Republicans who voted for that awful so-called Respect for Marriage, and I'm the same as you, Jim. I call it the Disrespect for Marriage Act, and that's AmericansForTruth.org or .com.
Okay, Peter LaBarbera with us here today. Peter, it just seems another day, another Disney story, and Disney is continuing to thumb their nose at moral values. LifeSiteNews.com indicates Disney has signed on a drag queen for a superhero series aimed at children.
Yeah, there's nothing. They just acting as if this is the truth, and there's no other side, and there's no other. I mean, it's like they've thrown all common sense out the window, all morality, and I don't know what to say except, you know, why would you spend $2,000 to take your family to Disney World when they're directly involving themselves in the corruption and harm of children?
Peter, I know that as we're talking about some of the school aspects that are going on, here's a couple of headlines. Maryland Middle School asks kids to read book about gender transition, sexual identity, cross-dressing. Another headline here, that was from CBNNews.com. Here's Washington Free Beacon. Texas School District pushes teachers to take LGBTQIA+ training on taxpayers' dime. We are not even scratching the surface on this issue. Here we have an elite Nashville girls' school founded in 1865, announces transgender girls are welcome. That's boys who are now identifying as girls. Here's another story, this one coming to us from frontpagemag.com. And it's a parent sues school over transgender brainwashing. Here is another one from PJ Media. Metro Atlanta School District sneakily involves gender propaganda on school-issued devices, putting it right on those laptops and pads that young people are using for their school and just putting that information right into that so that they have free access to it.
Yeah, and Jim, we see this through the corporations as well. I remember going to Chase Bank, and there was the LGBT Pride logo right there, even on just when you're going to get cash at the ATM machine. So this is a full-fledged propaganda campaign in our culture, something the likes of which we haven't seen. I don't know if we've ever seen something this strong coming across all aspects of the culture. And it takes a truth project that has to fight back. And the way you fight back is by telling the truth and showing how absurd this ideology is and how dangerous it is. I just saw a picture, Jim. I can only describe it. It was two young girls. I think they couldn't have been 16. And they had scars where their breasts once were, thanks to so-called gender-affirming care. Those are the three words they use, Jim. Gender-affirming care. We're talking about body mutilations that cannot be undone or have to be artificially undone, and they're doing that in the name of care? Give me a break.
It's leading many toward the pathway of destruction, and folks, we've got some more we'd like to share because this issue has also invaded the church. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For thousands of years, mankind has been fascinated with the question of what will happen in the future. Many have turned to palm readers, horoscopes, or a myriad of psychics for answers. However, one of the places people have refused to look
is at the pages of Scripture. Jesus himself was asked by his disciples, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus responded in the Olivet Discourse recorded in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. Bible prophecy teacher and pastor Richard Schmidt addresses and explains these powerful prophetic chapters in his book, Tribulation to Triumph, the Olivet Discourse. VCY America is making available this book for a donation of $15 or more. For your copy of Tribulation to Triumph, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarbera is with us today. His website, AmericansForTruth.com, AmericansForTruth.com. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that we understand that Chuck Schumer is going to be bringing up the so-called Respect for Marriage Act to be voted on by the U.S. Senate sometime during the month of September. Advance notice. Many of your legislators are going to be around. Some will be in parades or other events, town hall meetings over Labor Day weekend. And certainly you can reach out to them in person. You can reach out to them by phone to let your views be heard on H.R. 8404. And coming for a vote probably sooner rather than later. There are those who are certainly not succumbing to this agenda. Matter of fact, here is a headline from thecentersquare.com. A Jewish university appeals to the Supreme Court after it's being ordered to approve an LGBT club. There's a Christian school, Washington Stand has it, that has been taking a stand. They have received death threats. This is a Grace Christian School that has taken a position that affirms what Scripture says on this issue. As a result of this, they have been receiving death threats from around the country because of their stand, but they are taking a stand. But, Peter, what's disconcerting is those who are under the disguise of being a church that have no regard to God's word. I am looking here, it's happening in the U.S., but I've got some stories here from Canada, a disgusting story indicating that churches have been inviting drag queens to come in to address the children. Parents are willingly turning their kids over to them. The report of a church in Logan Square that hosted a drag queen to have a prayer time with children. Another hosted a drag queen to hold a dance party. There's a Canadian church hosted an online event with a drag queen posing as God answering prayer. And now in a now deleted Facebook post by a church in Edmonton, they encouraged their youth group to bring $5 bills to tip the drag queens, and the kings would be holding a story time, a Q&A session, and a small performance. Peter, is this Romans 1 or what?
Yeah, exactly, Jim. And God is not mocked. These aren't real Christian churches. These are social clubs for the sexual left and other left-wing causes, and it's just very sad. Jim, and I wanted to say one more thing about the marriage thing, if I could. Remember, this tidal wave of transgenderism came after Obergefell. The Obergefell decision, basically, our high courts defied God and said you can actually change. You don't even need a woman to call it a marriage. It's a man and another man, or two women, and that is sickening, and it's a grotesque defiance of what God considers marriage, and all the symbolism, the Christian, what marriage means in Christian circles, and yet they turn that around. So if they could do that, why not say that a man could become a woman or a boy could become a girl? That was a momentous occasion, and we cannot reaffirm that grotesque decision by the Supreme Court in 2015. We cannot affirm that in our Congress, which is what they're trying to do.
Peter, something else that's happening, and this is a story that I saw in the Dissenter, but it's happening, we're seeing it from other sources as well, that even the Mennonite Church has now passed a resolution repenting of hurting and excluding LGBTQ people, has vowed to do better, passed a resolution written by the Inclusive Mennonite Pastors Leadership Team. Now, I want to underscore, this is not representative of every Mennonite church, but it passed by an overwhelming 72% of the delegates on day two of the assembly, where the church now confesses that, quote, our denomination's policies, structures, practices, and theologies have excluded LGBTQIA persons from fully sanctioned participation. The denomination have caused great harm to LGBTQIA Mennonites and their families. The resolution calls on the denomination to provide denominational resources for individuals, congregations, and conferences to engage with repentance and reconciliation in their own context, and that such resources should explore historic harms, encourage truth-telling, and address areas of intersectionality. Further states that the denomination now commits to investing time and money into platforming LGBTQ people to lead the churches in providing support for homosexuals.
Yeah, this will not do nothing but degrade the Mennonite religion further. I mean, what needs to be repented of is adopting an identity rooted in sin and at the same time calling yourself a Christian. If we're going to call people homosexual or gay Christians, why not adulterous Christians? Why not drug-using Christians? Why is it only the homosexual and the transgender LGBTQ which gets the special privilege of identifying as Christian and holding on and even celebrating this sinful attribute?
Peter, this has impacted the church, and we've seen this happen during the so-called Pride Month and bringing drag artists into the pulpits in various very liberal denominations across this land. But we're finding even those that are even more evangelical that are becoming more and more silent on the issue, just saying, well, we're not going to talk about this issue. What is the harm in that? They say we don't want to create waves. Let's just not talk about it.
Yeah, because the harm is that's exactly how the other side wins. That's how the side of the sin movement, because I think the gay trans movement is a sin movement. That's how they win. They talk and talk and talk, and so that's all they do is talk about it. And if the side of truth doesn't speak, then the side of untruth wins, and that's what's going to happen, and that's what has been happening. And I think, Jim, one of the reasons we saw 47 Republicans vote for same-sex so-called marriage in the House was because of the silence of Christians on this issue and people giving up. If we didn't give up on abortion, on saving unborn babies after Roe v. Wade in 1973, which is so many years ago, why would we give up on the sanctity and the true definition of marriage between a man and a woman if that only happened in the Supreme Court in 2015? We cannot give up.
Our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. And Peter, we know that there's a battle going on as well. It seems that the LGB group is dropping the T, is trending on Twitter, as many in the homosexual community are rejecting the transgender ideology. Is there a war happening within?
Yes, you're seeing the LGBTQ warring within itself now, and I think this is at some level this is good because it shows how radical the transgender movement is. But at another level, it's also, I think, an attempt to sort of make the homosexual activist movement seem more mainstream. We see a lot of so-called gay conservatives now speaking on Fox News, Newsmax, everywhere you see them, gay conservatives, and they're really pushing a moral relativism within the so-called conservative movement. I mean, conservatives used to criticize moral relativism, Jim, you know, the idea that morality is sort of decided by what people support or how they feel as opposed to some absolute, which is what the Bible says. And so I welcome criticism of the transgender radicalism all over, even from homosexual activists. However, that does not make homosexuality moral. It will never be moral. Same-sex so-called marriage will always be evil. It's an evil that's being imposed on our country, and we cannot use the transgender movement to mainstream sexual perversion, the sexual perversion of homosexuality and bisexuality, which, by the way, Jim, wasn't bisexuality, wasn't that the one that everybody criticized that was so radical? How is that mainstream?
Folks, our number here to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. And Peter, we just learned through the Daily Wire as well that the California State Assembly passed a bill yesterday that seeks to establish the state as a sanctuary for children seeking transgender medical treatment, as well as parents who wish to put their children through the procedures. So California is saying, we're going to be a safe haven. Okay, your state has banned this. Your state has banned this. Your state is protecting children. You come to California. We're going to allow you to receive the so-called transgender medical treatment that you think you need.
Right. So the left unites around the most evil causes known to man, slaughtering innocent, defenseless, unborn children, as these states, the liberal states, are doing now. They want to be a sanctuary for killing babies through abortion, and now these awful genital mutilations of young persons who aren't even mature enough. I mean, a child is not mature, cannot make that decision. At age 16, to have her breasts permanently removed through so-called surgery, this is preposterous, and this is the difference between blue states and red states.
Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Rossville, Georgia, and Joanne, you're on the air.
Yes. There's been a couple of girls that I've known for several years, and they have... They were abused at a young age, and they went gay. Well, they're trying to come out from that, and they will open up and talk to my husband and I. We're kind of wondering which route to take. They have shared so much, it's devastating, about what they have gone through, but they're being shunned by the churches. And I know one church has taken them in and really letting them be used there, but we're kind of at a question as to which way to go.
Peter?
Well, I mean, the church is should be there for repentant sinners.
Right.
And so we don't want to turn away people who are seeking the forgiveness of Christ and turning their lives around. At the same time, a church should never be a place where, for example, you have homosexual activists holding hands or a gender-confused man wearing a dress in church. But it sounds like, in this case, these are repentant women. I have been blessed, and so has Jim, of hearing these stories of people who've come out of homosexuality,
right,
many through being born again through Jesus Christ. And so I would just encourage you to find a church which stays to the truth of the Bible, reaches out in the truth of the Bible, and will not accept gay identity, but also will not never. How can we deny the salvation of Jesus Christ to anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One question, I guess. They're still living together because, one of them, the parents is dead. The other, the parent will have nothing to do with them, and even the brother is a minister and shuns them. So on their financial means, they have no place to go. But yet, I have questioned up and down, do you still have feelings? Well, they say no. They don't sexually...
Yeah. Sure, and we're less than a minute before a break here. And let me just say, Joanne, that certainly to stay in that relationship or in that kind of situation, if there indeed is repentance and wanting to come out of that, there needs to be a separation that takes place in that regard. And God is going to make a way for that to happen. And certainly a church, somebody who truly, as you say, Peter, wants to repent, the church can come alongside and give that help and assistance, the love and the affirmation to fulfill what Scripture says, such were some of you. And it's critically important, though, for that relation, just as unmarried people living together, that needs to be cut off and made right before the Lord as well.
Absolutely, Jim. Absolutely.
We're up against a break. Thank you for the call. We'll pick up additional calls following the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network. Peter LaBarbera is with us. He is with AmericansForTruth.com, and back in just 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, right here in Tennessee, where I live, there's a lot of news about a new plant going in by Ford to build electric F-Series trucks. And it's a 3,600-acre complex, almost 6 square miles, and it's said to create 6,000 new jobs. Many people are excited about it, and land prices are starting to go up big time. But here's the reality. Do we really need electric trucks, much less electric cars? And what about the battery whole production side of this? Well, it's a very important article you should read at AmericanPolicy.org. And what is involved is a lot of government money, a lot of public-private partnerships, and the enriching of a few for something that's not going to work. Recently, California, during their heat wave, asked people not to plug in their cars to drain down the power on the grid. Rethink green energy, folks. I'm Brennan House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarbera with us here today from Americans for Truth. And let's get right back to the phone lines. We have Joplin, Missouri, an anonymous caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My son came out as gay about 6 years ago, and I sitting down and told him exactly how I felt about that lifestyle, that it was a sin and that it was against God's word, and that I would never, never go against God's word. I love him with all my heart. I'll do anything to help him with his life and change. And he said, so you just hate gays? And I said, no, I hate sin. If you was a drunkard and you was beating your wife if you was married, I would hate that. If you was a drug seller and doing drugs, I would hate that. Mm-hmm. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter whether it's gay or an alcoholic or a wife beater or whatever. Sin is sin, and we cannot condone it. And he knows exactly how I feel, but I love him, and he loves me, and we're trying to work through this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for being transparent and sharing that. And this is something, Peter, that's hitting various parents, and being forthright, not compromising in this, but to continue to show, you know, God's love by all means in this situation, but also to stand upon the truth of God's word. Peter, would you agree that's also very important?
Absolutely. And I think the caller rightfully expressed love in truth. The problem is these days you see a lot of so-called love without truth, which is not true love. And I think the best thing for his son is the stance he has taken, because he's affirmed he loves his son. He's not rejecting him. And of course, what we see on the homosexual activist side is, or in this case, his son, is this personalizing of the sin. And I think that's one of the great evils of the word gay, even though I've used it too often, I think, is that it made a catchword for this sin. It's a sin. It's a sin of sodomy. It's homosexual practice, which is very clear in the Bible is wrong. It is not an identity. It is not a healthy, normal, natural identity. And yet that's kind of what gay made it, just sort of like sound like an innocuous trait as opposed to a behavior which can be repented of and overcome.
Shelley's been holding the longest. Cookeville, Tennessee, you're on the air, Shelley.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I think one of the things, the church, of course, have been silent for far too long, and now we're to the point where somebody in every congregation has a family member that falls into this lifestyle, and nobody wants to offend anybody. And so it's not being talked about. It's not being preached. We don't have leaders that are telling us how we can fight back and what we can do about all this. Also, I think they think it might cross into the political realm, you know, in the 501c3 or the Johnson Amendment or whatever. I think it's a vine choking the church.
Yeah, yeah. And we can't buy into that, Shelley. This is a biblical, moral issue.
I agree.
Yeah, it is. Those seeking to make it all politics and so forth. But God has spoken on this a long time before.
Yes, I agree. We need to stand up.
Great. Thank you, Shelley, for the call.
Bye-bye.
We've got Delaine in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, online. Go ahead, Delaine, you're on the air.
I'm a retired counselor, and a couple of years ago, we had a gay pride parade, and I noticed on one person in a business that he had an elephant with rainbow stripes, and I had not seen anything like that. And I asked him about it, and he told me, and I hollered, "Help, God, what do I say?" And what came to me was what Jesus said to the woman who was going to be stoned, that he too didn't plan to stone her. And this young man had such a relief on his shoulders, just like the mountain was lifted off. And what came out of my mouth afterwards was from God. It didn't come from my brain. It said, asked him, "Do you know what else Jesus said to her?" And he said, "No." He said to go and don't do it anymore.
And
it was just like he got punched in the stomach.
Go and sin no more.
Go and don't do it anymore is the way it came out of my mouth.
Okay.
I was going to say, go and sin no more, but I guess God was wanting it to be a little more gentle. And also in my classes, we had people come and talk to us who were homosexual, and what we learned from all of them that came and shared with us, they wanted to change this, and they were contemplating suicide. And they had been treated that way by their family for generations, and the majority of the ones that came to us and wanted to talk to us in our counseling classes. It's a heavy thing, and they need love, they need help.
And they need truth. And they need truth.
Yes, right, right.
Thank you, Delaine, for the call. We're just about out of time. I do want to squeeze, Elizabeth in Tennessee, you're on the air. Squeeze this call in.
Yes, just touched on what my comment. We God's people, need to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to these poor souls.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Peter, I totally concur with that. We do need to get the gospel to, as she said, these poor souls.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. And I've been saying, you know, Romans 1 does not have a Republican exception either. So this is not political. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to Republicans. It applies to Democrats. It applies to everybody. And we have the truth, the love and truth of Jesus. And Jesus has changed people like my friend Stephen Black, First Stone Ministries, who've come out of homosexuality and out of transgenderism and any of these deviancies.
Now, Peter, I understand you've got resources on your website for those that are struggling in this area, resources and organizations you can direct them to.
Absolutely, and we have testimonies too. So, because the lie from the media and from the left is that nobody can change. And you hear this thing, pray away the gay, which is a snide way of saying you can't pray out of homosexuality. But God can answer any prayer, and God has helped people through Jesus come out of this sin. It is not something that needs to be permanent.
He says, "Such were some of you, but you're washed, you are sanctified, you are justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of our God." We have run out of the time on the broadcast here today. We apologize to callers still waiting, but Peter LaBarbera with us from AmericansForTruth.com. And folks, just a reminder that your senators likely will be voting soon on the so-called Respect for Marriage Act. You can reach out to them at 202-224-3121 to let your views be heard. Peter, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
And folks, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Let's not only know the truth, let's live the truth as well. God bless you. Thanks for listening today.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.